And it says, and again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, where he had done many miracles, by the way, if I can interrupt. He had done many miracles. Remember, they were the gold standard. They were faithful. Hey, if the miracles that were done for you were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have lost their minds. And many great things were done there. But going back to our reading, and again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. And he charged them from that day, charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. There was a time in our lives, if we're saved today, there was a time in our lives when we found ourselves unable to hear the things of God, unable to speak the things of God. There have been people in this room, like one we just talked about, where there had been ailments or illnesses, and we prayed, and God took those away. And we pray to see many more of that. Many, many people on our prayer request list tonight. I always feel bad because if I mention 7, I leave out about 40. And I feel terrible about that. But the fact of the matter is, we are relying on God to deal with those. And some of you have been there yourselves, where you have had a bad need, and God took care of it. Back before we were saved, we were unable to hear and unable to speak of spiritual things. And in this, we see a little bit of ourselves in this true story of what took place during this healing. Back there was a time when we were deaf and could not speak. When I was a lost person, I could not hear spiritual things. And a lot of it comes down to what? Our mindset when we come into the church. Remember being a lost person visiting a church? You didn't pay much attention, did you? So often we daydream, wouldn't we? I remember being brought in the church van as a kid. I'd come in, I'd sit in the pew, I would daydream, I would doodle, I would do anything but listen. You want to know why? Because I was a kid. But if you were to have taken an adult, me there, who was lost, you know what I would have done? The same thing. Why? Because I didn't care to hear what I was hearing. Not that it bothered me, not that it bugged me, but there was no desire for it. It shouldn't astound us that people that do not belong to the Lord care nothing for his voice. What was it that Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. And what do? We follow. I watched a video one time. There was all these shepherds. They're out in the field, and they let their sheep just kind of commingle a little bit. And they're all out in this thing. And I don't know if it was some kind of a competition or what it was they were doing. But each one gave their own particular call. And the sheep that belonged to that farmer came to... went straight over to him. There was no need to bustle around. There was no need to check the brands on them. No need to do any of that. Why? Because the sheep knew who their master was. They knew who the call was. You look at a sheep, when a sheep hears another shepherd's call, they care nothing for it. And that's exactly what happens all around the world in churches every day. There are people there that belong not to the Father, and they hear the call, and it falls on deaf ears. And you know what? I pray that one day those ears, just like this man, be open. Those ears, they become attentive. And any ears can do it, I promise you. The ears of somebody whom you would never expect to come to the Lord could come to the Lord. The ears of somebody that you would never want to come to the Lord might come to the Lord. Oh, Lord, we're not entirely sure we want that kind of person hanging around our church. If that's who the Lord's calling, that's exactly who we want. We want who the Lord wants. That ought to be our desire. Lord, your will, your people, we don't get to pick them. It doesn't matter how dirty they are. It doesn't matter how weird they look. Please, please, Lord, bring them on in. But us ourselves, we didn't hear because didn't make any sense to us. We had no desire for it. And there are many who do not hear because they refuse to hear. You invite them to church, they make ugly jokes. You talk about godly things, you wear a t-shirt with a godly slogan in it, and they make ugly faces at you. Hey, listen, I completely understand a sinner's nature to want to flee from God, but they have to understand that it's the absolute worst thing for them. You sit there, I've always, since I've been able to get a hold of shirts with Christian themes on them or Christian themes to them, I've always kind of worn them around. Maybe not every day, but it'd be at least once a week you'd see me out there wearing something. Nowadays, it's hard not to find me wearing something, you know, just out there representing the Lord in one way or the other. And sometimes you get smiles. Sometimes you get frowns. Some people want to check the denomination to decide whether or not they want to smile or they want to frown. But when you open the book and you teach the book the way that it is, those that care nothing for the Lord will have a hatred for it. Not all of them, but there will be many that have a hatred for it. It's like turning the light on in the middle of the night. You ever do that to somebody? You walk into a room, you flip the light on. Oh, oh, oh. That's the way it is for them. How dare you talk to me about sin? Oh, that hurts. Why are you... And we know, if you think real hard, you probably remember that feeling. When someone would want to talk to you about the Lord, and you'd become uncomfortable, and it would make you irritated. We remember that, and we can recognize that in people today. They are still deaf. They are still having a hard time hearing the things of God. There was a brother I knew who was talking about Spurgeon. And Spurgeon had this nasty habit of smoking cigars. And they used that, well, because he spoke a lot about some of the liberties that he had, and because the Bible didn't expressly say that you shouldn't do it, it was a perfectly acceptable thing for him to do. Well, what do we know about today? We know about a little thing called lung cancer. We know about heart disease. We know about all these terrible things that come through and affect people. Now listen, if you knew... If you had poison in your hand, do you think God would want you to consume the poison? We would sit there and say, well, no, everything we hear about from the Bible concerning how we ought to take care of ourselves and being respectful and thankful for what God has given us says that we should not do that. And yet there are still pastors and preachers today beating pulpits saying they have liberty to do such things. And when you try to tell them that's not biblical, they get irritated. I knew of a man one time, glorified the idea of calling himself a Calvinist. And I said, okay, so you support pedo-baptism, baptizing babies. No! Well, that's weird, because John Calvin did. Hey, and do you believe that the pastor has authority to go through the people's houses and remove anything that would bring them joy or happiness, anything that would bring them recreation, if the pastor believes that the house was not as serious about the Lord as they should be? No, that'd be crazy. Well, John Calvin did exactly that. As a matter of fact, he would tell the entire churches to not celebrate things for a certain period of time as a punishment because he did not view them as spiritual enough. So tell me, are you a Calvinist? Well, no, when we say that, we mean we believe the doctrines of grace. Then say you believe the doctrines of grace. To call someone who believes the doctrines of grace a Calvinist would be the same as calling me a Nazi because me and Hitler both like eggs for breakfast. Be ridiculous. When we talk about biblical things, there will always be a group of people who don't want to hear it. And that's our version of deaf. We turn a ear, oh, no, 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 not us, no, 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 no. We don't hear because we don't want to. It's that selective hearing your kids had as you raised them. Remember that? My brother had a bad case of selective hearing. Bad case. To the point where mom had his ears checked multiple times coming up. And every time, no, no, ma'am, it seems fine. It seems fine. And she had all these concerns about him. But the fact of the matter was, he just didn't want to do anything. He pretended he couldn't hear anybody. That's the way a lot of people do when it comes down to this book. They don't want to hear it. Or some, there's certain parts of the Bible they want to hear, but they don't want to hear the other parts. Folks, your ears need to be prepared for the whole counsel of God. You know, I saw that one. Well, when we pick out a pastor, we need to make sure we pick out a pastor that doesn't preach on this or this a lot, because it really makes me uncomfortable. You know what you need? You probably need to pick a pastor that preaches on that a lot, because clearly you don't understand. Clearly you don't understand the poison or the fire you're playing with. We don't hear because we don't want to. We don't hear because we lack the tolerance for it. We don't hear because we lack the tolerance for it. So much of what the world calls progressive today. So much of what they say, I mean, you look at this, the full term that's been done on the sleeping around culture, and of course it's still going to be pervasive, always going to be pervasive, but the progressives today, they talk about consent. Hey, before you enter into this behavior, you need to make sure there's consent. Hey, you know when there's always, you always know where there's going to be some consent? If you put it in writing. And I said, oh yeah, we'll put it in writing. And I said, that's wonderful. You ought to put it in writing. Call it a marriage certificate. That's how you'll know they like you or not. Just, you sign that, you sign that. Have somebody witness it. Y'all like each other. There you go. Well, I couldn't tell if she liked me or not. Did she marry you? Well, yeah. There you go. Close as it gets. This world, if they only realize that the things that they're doing to solve their problems are useless without this book. And so often they stumble across an answer like that. They stumble across something that makes sense like that. And they go, aha, do you see how clever we are? We don't need the Bible. And you laugh and you go, that is the Bible. That is the Bible. How many years did school teachers proclaim out loud, parents are not smart enough to know what their know what their kids need to learn. Parents aren't smart enough to educate their kids. Now what do you hear teachers banging on about and crying on about? Parents need to be more involved with their kids. Really? Yes, we've got all these psychologists and all these therapists together and all of these doctorates in education together, and they've come to the conclusion that children who have their parents educate them or are a big part of their education do well. The parents that sit down and say, hey, let's do the homework. The parents that homeschool. The parents that talk to the teachers who are involved in it, right? Their kids tend to do better. That's not psychobabble. That's Bible. You've just come back to what the Bible said after you pushed it away. There are people out there who have no tolerance for the Word of God. And when we were lost, folks, that was us. No tolerance for the Bible. What else do we see about this man that looks a lot like us? We couldn't speak well. Back when we were deaf, we couldn't speak well. Now, traditionally, when you say that somebody who is deaf cannot speak, it is because when that ear isn't working properly, it is hard to gauge the sounds your mouth is making. So somebody who originally learns how to speak because they can hear, if they lose that hearing, their language begins to slur because they have no reference point for how their words sound. And that's why, if you've ever known anybody, we've got some people on the Roland side of the family. One in particular who's gone deaf. So a large part of our family on the Roland side, a bunch of hillbillies down there in Kentucky, no sign language. And it always surprises new people when they come down. Like if a cousin gets married and brings their spouse down and they see seven or eight people speaking sign language at the family reunion, and you look at the surroundings we're in, they're always surprised by that. Like we're not supposed to be able to grasp sign language. But all the same, you know, she started, is my dad's cousin, she started off being able to speak, and she was able to hear, and she lost it. So now the sounds that come out of her mouth, they sound less and less like words, to the point where she just stopped using them all together. And she just signs, and her husband can sign, and many of the other family members, they can sign to her as well. It works just fine. But in this particular case, that's not what we see. What we see there is there's some kind of a string, something that's stopping his tongue from working properly. And as a matter of fact, we're aware of what that is. Children are still born with that today, to where there's that part underneath the tongue. They call it being tongue-tied, where that there's a little cord there. It comes up a little bit too high, and sometimes it'll prevent you from speaking. It prevents a lot of newborn babies from being able to latch properly. It's a whole thing. Now, is that it, or was the whole tied thing a metaphor? I don't know. Either way, the poor guy, he couldn't speak right. Said there was an impediment of the speech. And it says that that cord was loosed. When we were lost, we didn't speak right. I just call it what it is. And today the world is filled with people who do not know how to speak. And I'm not talking about elocution or being witty. I'm not talking about that. They don't know how to use the words right. You sit there and you're out in a public place and there's a bunch of kids running around. Somebody's got a foul mouth in the crowd. Learn how to speak, bud. Learn how to speak. That's my opinion. You must have the lowest vocabulary or the lowest, I don't want to say intellect, but that's what it is. You must not have any other way to make your words sound good. If you've got to lace in profanity, what about the jokes? We didn't know how to tell jokes. We would say filthy, nasty things. Maybe you didn't, but many people did. Where you'd say things unbecoming of a Christian, something of a dirty, vile, lecherous nature. And then when we tried to speak of godly things, it would come out confused and weird. Do you ever run into a religious person before you were saved and you tried to be nice? I guess it really just depends on how long you lived before you were saved. But I'll run into folks every now and then. They'll find out I'm a Christian. They'll find out I'm a pastor. Oh, yes, well, praise the Father. I'm a church. I go to church, too. At least I used to when I was a kid. What church was it? Oh, it was Hallelujah Lutheran Methodist Nazarene Church. And they try. Or when you get into debates with people, we get into conversations with people about biblical things, and they quote the scriptures, not just wrong, but what they're saying isn't even in the scriptures. My favorite was in high school. Somebody gave, I got into a discussion with them and said, hey, Matt, why is it that the Bible has so many rules and Christianity has so many rules when the Bible says to thine own self be true? Now, I'm looking at you to see who here has read their Shakespeare, because that's where it came from, right? As Hamlet, right? To thine own self be true. And I sat there looking at him, knowing full well he's going to bomb the test next week. Just, it was ridiculous. And yet there are many people, they try to speak biblically and they have no idea of what the Bible actually says. Somebody came up to me, and I love this question. I hope I get this question again one day. If Jesus was so smart and God was so all-knowing and he knew he was going to die on that cross, why didn't he just not do it? Why did he go through it? I love that question. Go ahead and set me up for a good joke. That's what that is. Because he loved us and he thought we were worth redeeming. People don't speak right biblically. And you sit there and you'll talk to priests and you'll talk to fathers and you'll talk to bishops and you'll talk to people who call themselves apostles now. And you hear them talk and you go, there's something not right. There's something not right. Something doesn't seem like it. You know, it just doesn't connect. It doesn't sound like they really know what they're talking about. There's some things missing there. Hey, listen, you know what we need to do? We need to make sure we're speaking properly the word of God to these people and not taking for granted that because they have a title or a name to themselves that they know what they're talking about. It is only through careful study. Something that catches me is the way people say Jesus' name. I think there's a difference, and I might be wrong. Maybe I'm thinking too much. But I think I can hear the difference between a lost person and a saved person by the way they say his name. You know, even during prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Lord, that's going from the Lord. Oh, Lord. There's no connection. You're not talking about a person. You know, I sit down and I talk to my kids about their favorite characters from this or that. I know they're not real. They know they're not real. So when we talk about some superhero, you talk about Batman. Let's talk about Batman for a second. That's not real. I know it's not real. You know it's not real. So you know what? When you hear me talk about it, there's an unfamiliarity that I have with it, right? We were watching that Batman movie. There's an unfamiliarity with it. But somebody who's been blood-bought by the Lord, they don't say his name flippantly. They don't say his name uncomfortably, like it's unwieldy, like it's something they've never done before. They know who that is. They say Jesus the same way as I would say Melody or Xander or Gideon or Caspian. Those are people I know. Oh, you're over there. Those are people I know. Those are people I'm familiar with. Their speaking is not quite right. Not just that it's filled with the wrong things, but that they can't even speak the right things properly. I remember trying to impress people at Flat Rock when I first started to go, and I tried to remember everything I knew about the Bible. So when they would ask questions, I'd shoot my hand up and answer, and didn't get it much. Didn't get much right. But what do you expect from a 7-8-year-old kid? Didn't get much right. And that's what I hear so often from folks that are lost. They try their best, but it doesn't sound quite right. And our inability to communicate, what does it do? What does our inability to communicate do? Causes us trouble. We had a teacher in our, it wasn't high school, it was middle school. I don't know, junior high, one of those. He was hearing impaired. So they had to install a different kind of fire alarm in his room because he'd have a hard time hearing that bell. And he had different things going on and the lights would flash and things like that to communicate to him. That there are issues. People with hearing problems, though they're living in the best of ages because we've got all manner of technology and fun to help them out. But there's a risk there. There's an inherent danger. And people who do not listen to the wisdom and discernment of the Lord, they are in danger. Those people out there who aren't listening and are instead doing whatever they want, they are in danger. Number one, of the judgment of God, an eternity in hell. Number two, they get what comes with sin. They get what comes with sin. I think I told you about Hans coming into the house. Danielle took that tick out. You want to know why Hans got a tick? Because ticks are ticks and dogs are dogs, and that's what happens. Right? That's what happens. You go outside. You roll in the grass, you come home with a tick, right? Sin's like that. That's what happens. What happened? Well, I got addicted. That's what sin does. What happened? Well, this happened and it blew up my life and it was terrible. That's what happens. Sin always comes with negative side effects. I saw a picture. My brother sent it to me. I thought it was in poor taste. It was a couple days before the 4th of July. It said, someone is enjoying all 10 fingers for the last time today. And I go, whew, that's dirty. That's ugly. But hey, listen, you know, we talked about it. And growing up, you know, our family, we didn't have the best track record with fireworks. So for him and I, it wasn't just funny. It kind of brought us back. There was the time my uncle in his sin and his blindness because of that particular sin. You know how you go to the grocery store and you get those boxes, those big old boxes of fireworks? Well, the family pitched their money in. We got a whole bunch of stuff. Big old family. We're all up north at the cabins. And we got all this stuff. And one of the full boxes gets mixed in with the spent boxes. Now, I'm talking the full box that you get. And he took the whole big stack of boxes and he threw the whole thing in the fire. And then when he saw what he had done, he stopped to yell at us right by the thing to stop to yell at us for having put it in the wrong pile. Meanwhile, there was this one time somebody in the family had gotten a hold of M80s. And they thought that what they would do is they would put them inside cinder blocks to see what would happen. When you do foolish things happen. And when a world is out there, I'm not just talking about fireworks now, but when the world is out there and they're not listening, that's why they're dealing with the things that they're dealing with. That's why you've got the Maury Povich show out there trying to figure out which one of these six guys is dad. That's why the divorce rate is what it is. That's why you've got broken homes. That is why jails are filled with capacity. That is why we've got crooked people in politics. That is why. Because we don't listen. And our inability to hear and communicate spiritual things is getting us into trouble. The other part that comes is we are nervous because our lost crowd doesn't like to hear about spiritual things. We're not going to be able to speak well about them. And we're not going to be able to communicate those things. Hey, listen, we're thinking about going on to the next bar. It's midnight. And I'm just at the point where it'd be dangerous for me to drive, so no. Oh, you big baby, come on. And all the names that they call him, what does that guy do? He keeps going on. And for all we know, that could be his last day. You know, all the jokes and the things and the mentality of this world, it is creating a very terrible world to live in, a very awkward world to live in, where you see problems and things going on that never should happen, never should be. Why? Because we refuse to hear and we are unable to speak. We are too caught up with what the world says. But then what happens? Verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. What happened to us back when we were deaf and we were unable to speak? The Lord healed us. He made us a brand new creature. And now what? Now the things start to click. Oh, that's what Brother Hugin meant. I used to do that all the time. I used to like to go up to him. I get it. You get what? And there'd just be some brand new thing that just came to mind that he probably preached about, you know, maybe a year before. And just, I get it now. Why? Because your ears work. Your ears work. You want to hear. You desire to hear. Tell me more. How does this work? How can I do this? Man, I want to know all about that. How is it that I can shape my life with this? What is faith and how do I live by it? And what do I do when my faith gets challenged? What do I do when I start to get bad feelings? What do I do when fear comes in, when doubt comes in, when anger comes in? What do I do with these emotions biblically? And what am I supposed to do as a church member? Tell me how to be a church member. How am I supposed to be a teacher? How am I supposed to be a leader? How am I supposed to be a tither? What am I supposed to do with this? And how do I react to that? And we ought to want to hear it. We ought to want to hear it. When was the last time you were excited to do something new? Think about it. For me, it's always something that's probably not good for me to play with. Like if I had to reach back, it'd probably have something to do with a power tool or something I could ride on, something I could probably cause trouble with. All right, show me how to do it. What do I do? How do I handle this? I want to know everything about it. I pull that out. Okay, perfect. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. Nowadays, I think the most exciting thing that I get pumped about is like office equipment. We've got one in the van, just came in before church. I've got a staple that you can staple in the middle of a half sheet of paper so I can make books. You know how excited I am over this stapler? Now, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. It's because I am. I'm excited about this thing. You're going to catch me tomorrow. I'm going to make about 70 books for camp and just ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. I'm going to have a good time. That's why I get excited about that. I might even read the instructions. That's where we're going with this. We get excited about things we want. And when the Lord saved you, there was a time when you desired more and more, and you wanted to know all the bells. You wanted to know all the whistles. How does it work? Because it means something to us now. It's not fairy tales or legends or made up stories with moral purposes to them. These are people. There was a man, deaf and unable to speak properly, who one day got up, going about his life, not expecting anything different than anything he ever had. When what happened? His friends came to him. Come here. However they communicated to him, come here. And they dragged him to Jesus. And they said, will you please do something with him? You ever bring someone to church and you pray that? Lord, do something with him. Do something with her. I pray that so very often while I'm up here or when I see people come in. Oh, Lord, do something with them today. Do something amazing. Change them. Shape them. Save their souls. Those people brought him. He didn't expect that. I mean, if I told you today that somebody got their hearing back after however long of not having it, you'd sit there and you'd go, oh, well, that's fantastic. That'd blow your mind. If you lost your hearing without technology like a cochlear implant or something like that, you wouldn't expect to have it back the way that you had it. And in these times, there was no technology like that that you could use that would restore hearing. So his expectations were low. And next thing you know, there's Jesus Christ putting his fingers in his ears. Spits a little bit, touches his tongue. And all of a sudden, everything's good again. Everything's good. Listen, we as Christians, we know that hard times come. We know that difficult challenges present themselves. We know that there's going to be times we are in the fire, right? Isn't that what we see in the Old Testament? Where nobody likes to be in the refining pot. Nobody likes to be in that melting pot where those impurities are being melted out of us. Nobody likes the potter's wheel, especially when he's starting to dig into us a little bit. Nobody likes it. But it benefits us. It helps us. We know that even after we're saved, that no matter what happens, God has his hands on the situation. We can hear things. You know, you sit there, you put down the phone, you get a bad phone call, and you're able to say, Lord, I know you have this. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you've got this. That's a blessing. Because I want you to look back before the Lord did save you, what happened to you? When those bad times came, what happened? Some of us dove into bottles, some of you dove into pills, some of you went out and did other such things. You fell apart, you got emotional, you got depressed. Terrible things happen. Now we cannot deny the fact that we fall into pain. We cannot deny the fact that things don't feel good. But you know what I hear in my voice? I hear in my head a voice saying, I'm here! And I hear you. I'll take that over being lost and wanting to, and doing whatever I want any day. Any day. And even to be able to say, Lord, whatever your will is, and know, because you have heard the things he has done before, that it is of a truth, whether he says yes, no, or wait, the best possible outcome will take place. That's where we live. That's our God. We know who he is. And we hear his voice. When he says, these trials are here to work into you patience. And patience to perfection. And you sit there and you go, well, gee, how patient do I need to be? We hear our Savior's voice. And we are now in a position where we can speak to him. Listen, I believe that God is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. I know that he is aware of the prayers of other people. But I believe he listens to his children. He listens to his children. If I had $5 and I bought 5 hot dogs, and I go to sit down, and other kids were to come up to me from the park, sir, we're hungry, and I just spent my last $5 on 5 hot dogs, and there's kids all around, sir, I'm hungry. Who's getting those hot dogs? My kids. right? Now, if I've got one for me, I'll split one. I'll live. Go ahead. You guys share this out. I'll live. But when it comes down to putting my children over the children of other people, that's what I'm going to do. And we see that time and time again where God hears the prayers of his people. And there are many people who reach out. Well, didn't I this and didn't I that? And oh, Lord, I knew I did all these things in your name. I don't know you. I don't know you. But for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, welcome home. Well done. He hears us. And we can speak to him. We can hear his voice through his word. We can hear the preaching and desire to hear it. And what's the side effect of someone who can now hear the word of God and can now speak to God and speak godly things? Well, we see verse 36. And he charged them that they should tell no man. Now, I've looked over this for years. And I've often wondered, did Christ tell them not to tell anybody because he knew it would just make them tell more? Or was it part of his passive will, right? We talk about God's perfect will. Lord, thy will be done. If you want me to go to the cross, I'll go to the cross. And what did he do? He went to the cross. In this particular case, don't tell anybody, and he allowed them to go tell people. And we know the Lord's got no problem making people not talk because we just read about how he can make people to talk. But in this, I see something beautiful. Among this rabble was a man who's got a brand new ability. You've made me able to talk, and you want me to be quiet. Folks, I've never had issues talking. I had to go through some speech therapy as a kid, but I've never had issues talking. Getting me to stop has always seemed to be the challenge. I couldn't imagine needing to be able to stop talking. Even to think about not talking doesn't make you kind of want to talk. You ever see those people? All right, we got to be quiet. All right, I'll be quiet. Listen, I understand. We want to be real quiet when we go into these places. I get it. I'm going to be respectful. All right, Don't tell anybody about this. They told everybody about this. They told everybody. This man does all things well. Because not only can he make you to hear, but he can make you to talk. They were so excited about the miracle, so excited about the change, they could not keep quiet. So here's my challenge to each and every one of us today. If you are saved, you can hear spiritual things. You can speak to the Father. You can speak spiritual things. We need to talk. We need to talk. As Baptists, as God's children, our silence has not done us any favors. We keep thinking that silence is doing us good because we don't get into arguments. That's not what it's for. You ought to talk. This world is dying and going to hell. Somebody ought to say something. I was watching the parking lot flood today. Now that I was just sitting there watching, you know, as I was walking by, I saw it. And I want you guys to think I'm just sitting in a chair watching rainfall. The good chairs in there, by the way. And I remembered a time when I was a kid. We lived in a trailer park, and the trailer park was built by, as you would assume, the lowest bidder, and the plumbing for the streets weren't all that good. So large patches of the place would flood. You'd get 3 to 3.5 foot water. We know because I got in trouble for taking my dad's measuring tape and measuring it. And we'd be in that water and we'd be messing around that water. And people got to the point where they couldn't drive through that water. They had to find creative ways to get back to their houses. Some of them would park up front and would have to walk back to their houses until that drain finally did its job. And it was several drains at once. It was just a whole mess. But I remember us just kind of sitting there goofing around. Some lady came by in her car. Stop, stop. That's dirty water. Don't play in that water. Warned us. There's people dying and going to hell. We were kids playing in the drain water, and somebody warned us. We need to be warning people. Why? Because we can talk now. It'd be hypocritical for a lost person to give the gospel. It'd be just about right for someone who's saved to give it. For a lost person to call another person a lost person, well, that's a little pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? But now that you know what it's like to have been a dirty, rotten kettle, I think we've got the responsibility. Nay, I know we've got the responsibility to go about and point to the way we were saved. To point to what we received. Hey, listen, do you know how good my God is? My God did this and my God did that. You better believe I'm going to be talking about some of the miracles we've seen here. That's not the first cancer we've seen disappear, is it? It's not. We've seen people get into wrecks. And we've seen them heal quickly. We've seen surgery after surgery. We've heard doctors say, well, that doesn't make much sense, but they're fine now. Hey, praise the Lord for that. I'm going to be talking about that stuff. Hey, we've got people here who know what it's like to be in the depths of sin. Everyone here who's saved knows what it's like to look at God, feel their inadequacy, and know they're going to hell. We know what that's like. We ought to say something. And if you think people are uncomfortable to hear you say it, wait until they're down there in it. They're going to be more uncomfortable then, I promise you that. We cannot stop a lost soul from going to hell, but you know what we can do? We can do our jobs. The Lord, think about this, how far the Lord came to save your soul. Think about all that He did to make your life right. Think of all the added blessings He's put upon your life. And He's just giving you one thing to do. Do the Great Commission. That's what you got to do. Not even expecting us to really do it well enough. If I came to your house, gave you $5 billion, and asked you to mow my lawn, you still wouldn't get the depth and the difference between the Lord saving your soul and asking you to tell others about Him. I mean, you're still not far enough apart there in that illustration. That's what God has done for us. Now that we can speak, let us speak. Now that we can hear, let us hear. With attentive, desirous hunger about us, wanting to know more. And not just hearing with our ears, but let us read. And when we read, let us study. Let's get off on offshoots. Let's get distracted by something for a few minutes and go ahead and look over here and check that out over there. Go ahead! I've had a few people say that to me. I get to reading and I get distracted. I start chasing things all around the Bible. I guess that's pretty bad, isn't it? I don't know, some of the best times of my life. You know, I sit down, I'm going to read this chapter. And then many minutes later, you're sitting there, you're looking over something over here, trying to figure out something that was said over there. And you get an understanding you would have never had if you didn't chase that rabbit. Sometimes you got to chase the rabbit. And what a blessing it is. You'll find flower patches and fields you never expected when you chase a rabbit every now and then. We must listen with all of our ability. Because God has given us the ability to do so. And then we must speak. Speak and honor God and bless the people around us by pointing them to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for healing us, Lord, for saving our souls. Lord, I ask this, that, Father, for our loved ones, the ones that are dear to us, Lord, those that we pass in the street, Lord, we would see their souls saved as well. Lord, help this church to always stand in strength. Lord, stand in Your word, being obedient to You. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.